This is a sequel to Forgiving is Hard, or is it? It's called How Can I Forgive That? What Fred had done was literally to end my career with a company I'd been with for 10 years. I'd been pretty successful there, and I'd gotten top management's backing to form a joint venture with Fred, who'd begun developing a product that we thought would succeed. I arranged for him to get a lot of money up front and almost half the shares in the new company. But as we went about developing and marketing the product, we came to disagree on several fundamental issues. I tried to work them out with him, and I was sure I could because he was a devout Christian. We'd had many discussions of all the points. But when we went to corporate headquarters for a review, he told my boss, the chairman of the company, that I should be fired. He said I wasn't competent to run the joint venture. Later in the discussion, he hinted that if they didn't fire me, he'd probably sue. A few weeks later, they offered me a settlement, suggesting they couldn't see how to resolve the situation in my favor. "Tell me how I can forgive that," I demanded of Hal. I could feel his sympathy for my feelings, but he didn't let that deflect him. "Well, just by imitating God. That's what Paul told the Ephesians to do, and Jesus set the example. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Remember? "Yes, but Jesus was God," I pleaded. "Surely he was setting an ideal for us to strive toward, but one he knew we can't actually achieve. Do you think a human being could really do what he did? Do you know of anyone who ever has?" He settled back in his chair in a way that told me I ought to listen for a while. "I'll bet the earliest Christians felt that way about a lot of things. Could they possibly live up to the example? Hadn't he left them with a worthy, noble, but impossible ideal? Is it even conceivable that I could do anything even close to forgiving someone who was at that moment killing me?" I'll bet that was talked about in a lot of small groups, and for the same reason we're talking about it. Then something happened that laid the whole question to rest forever. "What was that?" I was frantically searching my Bible memory. "Well, after a kind of a honeymoon period for the church, a group of Jews caused their leaders to seize and question one of the church leaders. They hoped to catch him in some sacrilege as a reason to start an anti-Christian campaign. When he showed his knowledge of the scriptures and concluded that they had not only rejected but killed the Messiah, they got furious with him. Then, as if to encourage him, God gave him a vision, and he told them he was seeing Jesus standing at God's right hand. That made them really mad, and they began to stone him," which means, of course, throwing big rocks at him until he was dead. "Just before he died, he said one of the most important sentences ever uttered by a mere mortal. He said, 'Lord, please don't hold this sin against them.'" "Stephen," I said, "the first Christian martyr." "Yes, Stephen," Hal said. "He was the first martyr. That's what most of us remember about him from Sunday school. But what we ought to remember, Stephen's real gift to us, is that he showed our Lord's teaching and examples can be followed by real people. They're not impossible peaks of perfection or out-of-reach goals we can only strive toward." And if Stephen could forgive those who were killing him, I can surely forgive Fred, right? I said, not looking him in the eye. "Well, at least you can't tell yourself it's impossible," he smiled. "But he was no ordinary man," I protested. "He was a saint. I've seen churches named after him. How do we know I can follow his example?" Hal opened his Bible to Acts chapter 7. Here's how he did it. Here, in verse 55, it says, "Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit." No, he didn't do it in his own strength. He had what Jesus called power from on high. But the same power he used is available to you right now. Do you believe that? A lump was forming in my throat. "Yes, I believe it," I said. "I know he can help me do it, and I know he wants to." I didn't waste much more time. I asked the Spirit to help me, not with the forgiving, I knew that would be easy, but to help me choose to forgive Fred, to want to let go of my anger. He gave me that power immediately, and I did it. In an instant, I stopped holding Fred's actions against him. What a wonderful feeling I had at that moment. I'd traded the satisfaction of holding my anger for the joy of being in tune with the Lord. In my small way, I was in the company of Stephen, looking into heaven, seeing Jesus standing, not sitting, standing at the Father's right hand to smile on me. Did my relationship with Fred get well? No, we don't have a relationship, though I've prayed for him often. He never apologized. He never tried to make things right. And after I forgave him, I never discussed the incident with him again. I didn't need to. Holy Father, I'm so grateful that you empowered Stephen to show us we really can follow Jesus. I want to follow him. There are things I've been telling myself I just can't do, people I've yet to forgive. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me his power. Thank you, Lord. I now choose to forgive. Teach me, Father, that I may learn forgiveness and practice it as a natural part of my life. In the name of Jesus, amen.